This is what Brooklyn sounds like.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. How you guys doing? I feel overwhelmed before I even got started. I had the most crazy week today, but until I get to that. Let's just start off by saying thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Dr. Lisa. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I want to tell you how great our station is and that you should go to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know, we're really fucked about the money, folks. I mean, it's true. We're starting this big Drive to Five thing. And you could go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/donate and put in any kind of whatever you can afford, or even if, you know, go nuts and go wild and just give us all of your money, even if you can't afford it. Anyway, thanks. So today is a big day. I have to operate this board and I have way too many things going on. I don't think I can handle it. First of all, I have this guest that I am so pumped about. Somebody I adore and admire, Leslie Goshko, and we're going to talk to her in a minute. She's super, super talented. She's so many things, and she can't take a compliment, which is why we're friends. Right, Leslie?
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, so Leslie is a very, very accomplished singer, musician, storyteller, cat owner, and I was just quizzing her about her new exercise. She's now also like really dedicated to the gym, which I think a lot of people are very jealous of her for. So we're going to get to her in a minute. But first, you know what? Do you guys remember a few weeks ago I had a boy that we liked each other in Camp Reed Otten and Arthur, Howard Eckstut, call in? And Howard and I hadn't talked in literally 50 years. Can you believe that, Leslie?
I can't, because you're eternally like 25 to me. No.
So anyway, we hadn't talked in like 50 years. And like Howard is just the nicest guy. We had a nice little chat about, you know, Philadelphia and Camp Reed and Arthur. But he's so sweet, and he offered to call in again today when I asked him, so I'm going to put him on. Howard, are you there?
Howard? I am, Lisa. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to Leslie. What a pleasure.
Hi, Howard. It's nice to meet you.
Howard's great. Nice to meet don't you like him already?
I already love Howard.
So, Howard.
I will have to look you up on the website, Leslie, to see your smiling face.
Oh yeah, you're
so sweet.
You can see everything on I posted everything, like all you need to know about Leslie, on the Facebook post on my page today, so you can all go to that. So Howard, it's good to hear your voice again. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you very quickly after the last time we spoke, because you know how things get. But anyway, I sent you some pictures. I sent Howard pictures. I went and found all my camp pictures.
Oh, I was like, this sounds very sexual. I sent you some pictures, Howard.
No, it was me. Well, maybe. I sent Howard a picture of me at 14, so maybe that was kind of like. So, and then I found all these camp pictures, but I realized I wasn't in any of them because I had no friends at camp, and I just took pictures of other people, and no one took pictures of me. So, Howard, how was the picture I sent you?
Well, first of all, Leslie, of course, the picture was beautiful, and you were sexy, even though you weren't trying to be. And yes, you were exactly as I remembered you.
That was that person.
Sweet and innocent, and maybe not so innocent at the same time.
Oh, that's how you think. Did I have that depressed deer in the headlights look?
No, not really, but you could tell that you're a deep thinker.
Oh.
I'll just say that. I can tell that you're thinking. Your mind is going a million miles a minute. But you were relaxed. and it was at least a half a smile.
It was a half a smile. And the wardrobe is still, I wish I had those clothes, those my favorite shoes. The wardrobe still works, right?
Absolutely. You could have taken that picture and colored it in today's technology, and you wouldn't know it was from 50 years ago.
Except, that's getting way too close to a compliment. I'm going to have to change the subject. But so
I was wondering why you sent me a picture of the pool.
Because that was all.
Nobody in it.
That was all. That's her life metaphor. It's just a pool with nobody in it.
Exactly. Leslie knows me. That's because I had no life. No one wanted to be. I had no friends at camp. Do you remember that about me, Howard?
I did not know that about you. No,
yeah,
I didn't.
Not really. Not really. Not a lot. But so, you know, Leslie, all you guys. So here's the thing about Howard. Howard, like, I should have, like, married Howard because he was a really nice guy and I would have, like, had a nice life instead of the horrible, like, the horrible, like, black hole that I had to drag myself through for, like, a few years there. So, Howard, you know what I thought would be fun if we compared Thanksgiving plans? Because I'm going to tell you mine, and then I want to hear yours. Mine is driving out to the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania and having dinner with my brother and his friend, my brother from elementary school, because neither of them have ever had a life partner and except for each other, and it's going to be just like this really weird dinner at a restaurant with, like, you know, people who you know, are, like, retired government workers. So how about you, Howard? Let's hear about your Thanksgiving.
Try and top that, Howard.
Well, first of all, Lisa, there's a couple of things you left out in the picture. Let me clarify so I have a correct image. So you're going out to Central Pennsylvania. And where at in Central Pennsylvania?
I don't know, Howard. Let's not get into the details.
Okay. And the second thing is, isn't your husband going with you?
Yes.
You said you.
I know. I'm trying to make it sound pathetic. This is entertainment, Howard. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, my Thanksgiving sounds a little bit better than that, but I will be driving from Pennsylvania to the suburban Philadelphia area, and I will be making two stops. So the first stop is dinner, and it will be at my daughter's house.
See?
And there will be both of my my daughter and both my daughters, my five grandchildren, and unfortunately, my ex-wife and her husband. And we will be having dinner there at my daughter's house in Warminster, Bucks County. And then from there, after spending a couple hours there, I'll be going to my brother's house, also in Bucks County, for dessert. And there will be my brother and his two sons, and one of their children, and surrounding family. So it's going to be a very festive family.
It's very Norman Rockwell.
See that? If I had stuck with Howard, I would have had a normal life. And look where I wound up. That's what I'm. This is my point. This is my point.
Or my life would have been normal.
No. This is my point, Howard. But, you know, I'm happy for you. I'm happy how it worked out. And I'm happy that, you know, that we can still relate to each other, even though, like, your life is great and I'm desolate.
Well, it sounds pretty good right now, Lisa.
It is really good right now. It is really good. Right at the moment, it couldn't be better. Right at this moment.
Right.
So anyway, Howard, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving.
Well,
to you and your whole family, if you can spread it out that thin.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Howard. I'm glad we got to meet.
I will, absolutely. And to all of your listeners out there, happy Thanksgiving.
Well,
and Lisa, I know we haven't talked for 50 years, but now we've talked twice in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, don't be a stranger. And you know, anytime you want to chat about any other topics or anything, I'll be happy to come on
the air. Okay, we'll have you back. We'll definitely have you back. Thanks, Howard. Have a great day.
Bye, bye, Howard.
Have a great show, and bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, I like Howard.
Isn't Howard a nice guy?
He needs to be like a recurring guest.
I know,
like
and
him.
He's like a financial guy now. See, I could have like, I could have had,
I know. Screwed your whole life up.
Well, my mother didn't help very much. She wasn't very friendly
to
him.
They rarely do.
They never help. So anyway, there we go.
I love Howard.
I know. He's great. So here, okay, listeners. So I gotta let you know who Leslie is. So Leslie, okay. So here's the thing. Also, I met Leslie in 2007, 2008.
Yeah,
and we were both doing shows at the basement of Comics, Ochi's Lounge. And mine went on for a while. And Leslie is like just celebrating her what anniversary is it?
In January, it's going to be 11 years.
And Leslie, of course. The whole theme of this is how everyone around me is doing. No, I'm kidding. No, so Leslie is, and it's a storytelling show, Sideshow Gotchko. Tell us where it is and when it is.
It is the fourth Thursday of every month, except... next month. We're not doing it next month, but the fourth Thursday of every month at the KGB Bar in the East Village. And
what's it about? Explain it. So we
can... it's a comedy storytelling show where performers, writers share true stories about their lives. It's kind of in the vein of like The Moth or This American mm-hmm. Life.
And it's gotten really good reviews, like in the Times. And
look, you have notes and paper. You've done research.
Yeah, no, this is a big deal. It's been on.
I'm a big deal.
Hailed as Time Out New York and New York Critics Pick, a well-programmed night, New York Times. Anyway, it's, you know, do your own research. It's all in the fucking, look, I posted everything you need to know about Leslie on my Facebook page. So anyway, but Leslie is a Moth champion, and she...
Do you know what's funny?
What?
I'm actually not. I've never performed on The Moth, not once.
Then why is this? So you're like that woman that like told everybody she went to Harvard for the government.
I didn't say on there I did The Moth.
You don't?
No,
but
I think what it is because I'm a Manhattan Monologue Slam champion, and everyone always thinks it's The Moth. But okay. You know what's great about
go with that?
I do, because everyone's like, she's a Moth Grand Slam champion, and I was like, this is the best credit that I've never worked for. Like, bring it on.
But you could be. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like no way.
I usually don't correct people. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, you know, if anybody...
But I need to be honest with you because I care about you.
Know, and you know I'll know. I'll find out.
You will. I know. Well, you have notes.
I will. But anyway, so she does that. She's also... So we talk like... I posted that to the show that we did 3 years ago. Leslie was a guest on Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit 3 years ago. And so...
But it was not in these very fancy digs. We have a really nice, we do.
So see, I was thinking about how part of the reason I wanted Leslie to come on the show today was because I think it's going to be very exciting to talk about how her career has really progressed. I mean, she was doing really well, but she's got consistent professional gigs now that we wanted to talk, that I wanted you guys to know about. But, I guess we've done pretty well, too, at Radio Free Brooklyn, because we've got a nice studio and we had a shithole last time.
This is a beautiful, beautiful... Not that I didn't love it last time, but weren't we like in a basement?
We were in a basement of a bike shop. People love that.
I remember it was like very dark and in the back and down and...
Smelled like cat piss.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Yeah, of course you did.
I'm okay with it, though. It's fine.
But this is a good vibe.
It did. I liked it. It was like renegade radio.
Yeah, right. You know? Right.
And but now, this is nice.
Yeah, really nice. I know. Well, and now people ask, like you asked, can I curse on the air? Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, I know. I did. I wanted this. You walk in, you're like, I don't know. This looks like a non-swearing place. This is, they got sliding doors and shit. But
yeah, we got glass here.
I know. It's not even broken or cracked.
Yeah, we've got, this looks fancy.
You have a door guy?
Yeah, we have.
There's
we have
security? It's amazing.
Yeah, a working toilet.
I know.
No kitty litter anywhere.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. So we've all progressed. But in 3 short years, I think it's pretty exciting. So Leslie has two regular gigs now. One is Loser's Lounge at Joe's Pub, where she does every single fucking Loser's Lounge, which is a huge deal. If explain Loser's Lounge.
Loser's Lounge has been going on for like 25 years, something like
it's
that.
It's huge.
Yeah, and it's kind of an institution there, and Joe's Pub is the home for it. And it's basically
it's an institution also.
Yeah, it's an amazing venue. And it's run by Joe McGinty, who used to play keyboards for the Psychedelic Furs. And it's a tribute show. They pick a different like theme or artist, and they have like 20 plus singers. So we just did tribute to Stax Records. We've done tributes to Aretha Franklin. We've done Bette Midler. We've done Blondie versus the Pretenders. So it's a really, really cool experience.
It's great. And I posted, so we're going to play for you in a minute when we finish going through the rest of Leslie's accomplishments.
Well, there won't be time to
get it. Maybe by the end of the show, we'll get to this. But we're going to play, I just lost it. We're going to play Leslie singing Dr. Feel Good at the tribute to Aretha Franklin. So we're going to play that in a second, but let's just get through. Also, tell us about Leslie also plays every Saturday night and like a lot of regular shows. She calls it Sid's Gold is her home away from home. So tell us about, do you guys know Sid's Gold? It's like the coolest.
It's cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the coolest piano bar in the whole city, right? Is. There's no question.
I think so. It's called,
think so too.
Yeah, Sid Gold's Request Room, and it's kind of a retro piano karaoke bar. They also do live shows there. I'm there every Saturday night.
Night of the week.
I like it though. I like it. It's
every Saturday night, which is the busy night,
yeah,
with the crazy people. Come out. Do you get tourists?
Oh yeah. You get tourists. You get a lot of, there's everything. There's bachelorette parties. There's birthday parties. One night I played and it was for a girl's divorce party. That one was my favorite.
Were they having a great time?
They were having a blast. You know, she's like, this is my divorce party.
I love it.
They were great. So it's, you see all different kinds of people. All different skill levels. I've seen a lot.
And what songs do they ask for?
Oh God. I mean the usual ones are like Don't Stop Believin', Sweet Caroline, Total Eclipse of the Heart. Everyone really loves to sing Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. Everyone loves that. It's like,
oh, really?
I don't know. It's making a comeback.
Are those songs hard to sing, or are those easy?
Depends
what
on
do you
who's
think
singing
motivates
them.
People?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
1 a.m. and alcohol, that motivates
so
people.
So you've been doing that. And then also since we last saw Leslie in person, she's had a lot of, what do you call this, music director jobs. And right? You did something with...
New York One anchors Pat Kiernan and Jamie Stelter. They had a live show for a while, and that was at 92Y, and I was their live musical director. Yeah.
And what does a musical director do, actually?
Keep that shit together. You know?
So do you have to pick out the music? Are there people playing also? Or
that particular one, it was just me, but I did have to curate... I curate the transitional music, what I would do up top. They also had me warm up the crowd. So I did a little bit of that. But and then, you know, you get into copyright issues sometimes, too. So I have to make sure I'm not doing anything that's like going to be a legal thing or stuff like that.
So if it was like a movie, it'd be like sound design almost in a way or whatever. It's like the whole all the music that's going to fit with the show.
Yeah, you know, you're curating the musical numbers and all of that and executing it. And
wow.
All of that stuff.
And so you've been doing a bunch of those, right?
We're
talking 3 years. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a lot of one-off shows in the middle in there. So like
two regular gigs, a bunch of other shows where...
You know.
This is what we're trying to say, but you have a really big... what about, can we talk about what's going on with Gary Burton? Can you tell us?
Wait, how do you even have that?
Because you put it out there. It says, also stay tuned for more information on an exciting new project.
I wonder if he's listening. Gary, if you're listening, tell me if I can say this or not.
You don't have to.
We don't
have to. Just going to announce it here, folks.
He might kill me. So, we're working on a new thing that we're hoping is going to come out in like December, the early.
Tell us who Gary Burton is.
Gary Burton. Hi, Gary. He's like one of my best friends. But Gary Burton is he's a great singer, songwriter. He worked for the BBC for many years. He was a radio guy, so you'd love him.
Oh, yeah.
Doing BBC, and he did morning drive radio stuff for a long time. And he's British, so he's just fun to listen to.
Wow.
But he also has a new EP coming out. So, and I've played on his album for a couple of his songs.
Are you good friends with him?
Yeah.
Will he help us with our Drive to Five benefit for the radio station?
If you ask nice enough.
Yeah. There.
He's in Brooklyn, so maybe that's a good fit. Yeah.
That would be really cool. We really need help. We're a little nervous here about keeping the lights on.
Let's get him in. Let's get him in here.
So that would be cool. Okay. See, I'm using this all to
see. We're making connections happen.
When things are going, and then before I'm gonna get to playing.
It's all right. Better out
playing there. Playing you singing, but like let's. Just talk about one more thing, which is like, this is really exciting. Tell us about the Workman's Circle annual benefit, which is honoring Seth Rogen, folks, and his dad.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. How did they find you? Seth was over for dinner.
Well, Seth is obsessed with me. Seth Rogen is so obsessed with me. I know. He was like, listen, just host this benefit. No, it was through a friend. I wasn't even at first being considered to host it. They were, they're going to be, I don't think I'm saying anything out of school. I won't say specifics, but they were just going to hire me to do a small portion in the middle. And then
they met you.
Well, so I know this girl, she's a friend, and she, I guess, was talking with their staff, and they were trying to discuss what they wanted for the night. And she was saying, well, we want it to be like young and fresh. I was like, God bless you for saying I'm young, young and fresh. We want it to kind of be like fun and da da da. And she was like, who can we get? And then she brought me in, but I still had to like go through an interview process. I had to give a resume and links and all, you know, all this stuff. And then it went from this like small 10-minute section that I was going to host to I'm hosting the whole thing, and they're honoring. It's the
wow! You must have been so excited when they called you that.
It's crazy. I'm going to meet Seth Rogen and his dad, and they're the honorees for all of their work that they do with charity. They do a lot with Hilarity for Charity and all of that kind of thing. And they've had a correlation with the Workman's Circle, so this is their big annual benefit thing where they raise money and. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's going to be really cool because it's going to be probably in a nice place.
It's at the Essex House, yeah. So
yeah,
it's...
no kidding. and you're going to get free food and shit, food and drinks. But also, I bet the audience is going to be fabulous, right?
Yeah, it's all the movers and the shakers, kids.
No, who's going to be there? Like, what kind of people?
Jewish people. No.
Jewish people.
It's a Jewish nonprofit.
Is it a Jewish nonprofit?
So, no, it's people who are very, like social justice conscious.
Social justice.
Yeah. You know, looking to make
Let's give
things.
It a shout out. What does Seth's dad do? Do you know?
So his dad, this is where I'm like, oh shit, I should have prepped more because I'm hosting it in like 2 weeks. he worked with, I believe there's a Workman's Circle out there. There's some correlation where he had been working with them, and they're philanthropic and, you know, work with charities and stuff. And so when I think they kind of reached out through him, they had a connection already. And then Seth and, you know, his family like all got on board, and they're like, yeah.
So is his father in entertainment, or is it just like he's famous because he's
Why
Seth's
are you
father?
Grilling me, Lisa?
This is what God. I do. I know.
No, this is good because I'm like, I got to go home and prep a lot more.
Oh, see. We're fine.
I haven't got all my breakdowns
yet. No. Do you know? I mean, have you ever heard of him? No.
Mark Rogan, I didn't know of him before I was hired to host.
No, well,
a benefit honoring him.
See, here, it's all about my insecurity, folks, because it's all about me. No, because I was thinking, oh, like, what do I know? Like, his, you know, his Seth Rogan's father's probably like a famous director that I never heard of or something.
No, I think he's like,
he's just, I think he's just Seth's dad. Yeah. It's just
watch, I have it so wrong, and they're like, well, this is how I lose the job. This is right here.
I want to know.
This is exactly how I lose the job. We're like, we hosted this girl who knows nothing about this event.
Find out about Seth's parents. I'm going to look it up now. You got, I wish I actually had a producer I was working with, because I'd make them like find out,
you know,
why we were on
the
air.
You shouldn't have even said, you should have just been like, hey, you know, John, look that up and make it sound like we have this whole team working here.
I'm going to put it out to you guys. If there's any listeners out there.
Get Howard on there. Get Howard on the job.
Howard, are you listening? If anybody's listening and they want to call in and tell us, do some research and find out what Seth Rogen's dad, who he is or what he does, let us know. I don't think anybody ever listens to the show.
I hope no one from the workman circle is, they're going to be like, she's done nothing.
I just lost you your job.
She's going to be like, she's known about this for a long time and she's done nothing.
Look how she's talking about Seth's father like no one cares. No. This is a subversive group. They would never like, you know, if it was the other way around where you were saying,
I'm
going to
laugh my ass off when I get an email when I'm done with this. And they're like, we heard you and you don't know anything you're talking about.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. No one's listening. No one's listening.
Not even my friend Gary.
Gary.
Come on, Gary.
Oh, Gary. Okay.
Get on it.
So, okay. Enough merriment. We're going to, or whatever.
No.
Here's
more
merriment.
I can't believe you're playing this whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to play the whole thing.
I literally said, I was like, yeah, 15 seconds, fine.
Okay, so here's, we got to do the technology, right? And you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about your music, Leslie, is neither me or Leslie can take a compliment, but like, let's just do this, okay? So. is that I actually really love watching you perform the song.
Oh, thank you.
And so I posted all this stuff on my Facebook page under Leslie's announcement. So you should go there and look and watch it, because I'm going to be playing it's from a YouTube video. It's live at Joe's Pub.
Please welcome Leslie Koshko.
That's Joe McGinty.
Hello, Joyce Paul. Hey. Hope you're doing good tonight. And if you're not, I do believe there is a doctor in the house.
Leslie's killing it, man. That was so good. Wow, listen to that.
That band's amazing. That's the Joe McGinty Seven.
No, that was really fabulous.
Thanks,
I really enjoyed it. You got to watch it though, folks. Okay, okay, you guys. So I got to remind you about that you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Yay! Free Brooklyn, and I'm here with Leslie Goshko, who is a multi-talented singer, comedian, song,
Sure.
You know what?
The stuff.
No, you know what I wanted to say? Do you know that she was a valedictorian? Leslie, you know, I'm always reminded that, like, Leslie really, really had, like, she really killed it, like, in school. She was a valedictorian. And weren't you, like, the best piano student ever and something? What award was that?
I don't think that's a real thing.
Or whatever. Something like, didn't you win, like, I mean, weren't you, best like, didn't you have some award as a piano student or something like that?
I don't think I did. I mean, I was my junior high salutatorian and my high school valedictorian. Then I was a summa cum laude. But it just lands you in a basement in a bar.
It doesn't mean anything.
Sid's Galtzy. But anyway, so I just want to remind you that you should listen to Radio Free Brooklyn. And, you know, you could download our apps. We have apps online for free. So
amazing.
You can listen to Radio Free Brooklyn like anytime you want just by pushing, you know, touching your phone, which is pretty amazing. Isn't it technology how that works? So go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android. So anyway, I think I wanted to talk with Leslie. I think it would be really fun to talk about our relationship a little bit, because I think that Leslie and I have a really, like, a valuable, incredibly valuable, inspiring relationship.
Aww,
and
I wanted us
to talk about it, because here's the thing. Leslie and I don't see each other a lot.
No.
And we don't really even have that much direct communication.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of correspondence.
But we know somehow that we respect each other and that we cheerlead for each other.
I say this all the time, but and also every time I see you, I'm like your biggest fan. I love everything you do. I think you're one of the most talented people. Your art is amazing. I love your show. Like, when I get your newsletters, like, every once in a while, you know, I will send, like, a quick, like, you're killing it, because I love, you know, and we'll have, that's our interaction. But I'm, like, the hugest fan of you.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about you. And I feel like Leslie's so talented and accomplished. And that you're paying attention to me.
I fooled another one.
No, and that you're paying attention to me. But... you know what's really funny?
Stop with this. I was thinking. You had a fucking exhibit thing at BAM. Okay.
I'm just being honest. And I'm telling you that, like, I want to tell you this because it's really, like, stupid and embarrassing. But I really want to say it because I like making things as awkward as I can.
Bring it on.
And uncomfortable. And. But a lot of times, this is what I wind up thinking. I wind up thinking, Leslie is a really, really nice person. And she's probably like this with everybody.
No.
She says this. This is what I wind up thinking. I know Leslie because I've done enough. Like, we only see each other when I have a project and I have to do psychotherapy on her. Yeah. So she'll be in my project.
And then you're scarred for a long time
And then I'm into my head. And then, so every time we do it, we talk about how Leslie had, like, she had a really, like, crazy childhood and how she's always, like, she's, like, really on top of things and a real achiever because she made stability happen in her life. And then there's, like, things, that's why she's so humble and she feels guilty about things, kind of like, sort of like, I relate to that. I'm like that, too.
I just have to say, you remember more than my actual therapist I had, who I fired because she couldn't remember, like, dick from the week before. And you remember a conversation we had, like, 6 years ago. I just want to say how amazing you are.
So then I'm like, oh, Leslie just feels, like, guilty, so she's nice to me.
No.
That's how I feel. I wanted to tell you
that's just in your head, because it's funny you say that, because I had my show last night And we were sitting and hanging out afterwards, and it was me and just some, like, some of my close friends and some newer friends and everything. And I came home and I was talking to my husband. I was like, you know, I said, you know, they say that your friends are a reflection of you. I said, but I don't think that's accurate. And I was like, cause I have such nice friends. And I was like, I don't know if I like look inside my heart. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I try to be nice, but I don't think I'm as nice as like my friend. Like, you're a nice person.
Wow. You feel like that?
I think when I was younger, I used to think like, oh yeah, I try to be a good person. And then the older I get, I just think, no.
Wow.
I think I have maybe some good days, but.
So do you see, like, I kind of feel like I see myself reflected in you, because I feel like I have a lot of respect for you and I take you very seriously, but I feel like that you have trouble seeing that about yourself, and maybe I'm like that too.
I'm just going to let that sit on air. Well, no, because we've talked about this. Like, you always cut to the quick of me, Lisa. Dr. Lisa and your damn insight. I don't know. We've already talked about this where, you know, I'm probably a little hard on myself.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
But you know what? Actually, I thought was really interesting. Before we got on the air today, we were talking about, I, fan of Leslie's, have noticed that she's been really killing it at the gym, like with weights and shit like that. And this is somebody that this is not the Leslie I knew the last time we saw
each other.
It's
not the Leslie that anyone wants to know. Nobody wants to hear me talk about working out.
So I'm like, but I mean, like, a big fucking, how much did that belt barbell weigh?
Well, see, now I know terms like my one RM, which is my one rep max. See, it's like obnoxious.
No, but it's like more than you weigh, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
you can lift more than your weight.
Yeah. My one RM for a deadlift right now is 180.
You can lift 180. That's crazy. So
there's girls who lift a lot more that are, trust me, like I put myself against them. I'm like, oh shit, I got a long way to go.
Well, you gotta work on this, honey.
I mean, I'm not gonna be a competitive bodybuilder. Yeah,
only 180, that's not much. No, see,
more than a
that's
way.
Great. So the thing is that Leslie, I already quizzed her. She's not gonna want to tell you, so I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna do it for you. So she did. She goes to the gym. She works out 3 times a week, and she works out for 1.5 hours every time. And she just started doing this 1 year ago. And so you really it must have had like this huge impact on your physical being, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're, it all started because I was like, oh, I want to, well, because I was fat. I was heavier than I should have been. So
then you wanted to be.
Sure.
No fat shaming here, folks.
No, there's not. I'm shaming myself.
You wanted to lose weight.
Yeah, you know, and also, like, we had talked about, you know, like, I go on auditions or I'm performing or stuff, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, she gets cast in commercials. She's got to go on auditions for, you know, do acting,
you want to feel good about how you look and all that stuff, you know. I'm just saying, for me, I wasn't happy where I was at. And I had never done like any kind of weights. I literally didn't know the difference between a barbell and a dumbbell. And I still say the wrong thing. So I got a trainer and I just was going to start like just learning some exercises. I was going to do it for like 3 months and be done. But I have an amazing trainer. Shout out to Teddy Sanchez.
Teddy.
I love Teddy. Now we just had our 1 year anniversary of working together. So yeah, I mean, it turned into a whole thing. I didn't set out to go do deadlifts and, you know, kettlebell work and all of that nonsense. It just happened.
So it's now really integrated into your life.
Yeah. You know, it's still, I don't want to say a struggle. I still have to make very conscious
efforts. It's not just like, hey, I go to the gym all the time. I love it.
It's huge discipline, isn't it? Yeah. Like, how hard is it to get yourself there? Like, what do you do? Like, tell us like about getting yourself there.
It's hard with my schedule because my schedule is so erratic because my weeks change all the time because I don't know, depending on the shows, I regularly play at Sid Gold's on Saturday, but sometimes I'm subbing out for people. Sometimes I'm singing at another gig. So I don't get home until, you know, midnight, one. When I'm doing that Saturday shift, I usually don't get home till like 3. So, but I don't work out on Sundays. But, you know, those gigs, and most of them are in bars, and a lot of times you get drink tickets and stuff. So, like, you know, back in the day, I'm like, sweet, you know, it's a Tuesday. Yeah, let's get fucked up. You know, I do that all the time. And now that's how it changes, where I have to really monitor. Like, I don't stay and hang out afterwards. Like, I'll stay for, you know, the show or whatever, and, you know, try and be respectful of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then I'm home and I go right to bed and I have my alarm set, and then I'm up at 6:30.
Is that hard though? At 6:30, are you like,
I'm a morning. It's hard if I'm hungover. I've done like a couple of those, and it's, I just shoot me. Mm-hmm. But I'm a morning person, and I like I'm goal oriented. So I feel better when I do those things as opposed to not, you know, but there's sometimes I mean, trust me, you can ask my trainer, where I'm there and I'm just bitching. You know, I'm like, oh, this is heavy. Oh, I'm tired.
Is it really hard to fit it into your life? Have you had to make a lot of changes? Or like a really radical, I mean, to me, that's a lot.
Yeah, I just have to.
It's like having a kid or something, practically, to me.
It's worse now. I just have to, I have to structure it in like it's an appointment.
Yeah.
You know, I have to treat it like it's not an option.
So, yeah. So I'm curious, like, how that has affected, like, your confidence and your self-image. And I don't mean just because, well, you look great. You look great before and all that. It's not just about. We're not talking about necessarily physical appearance, although you did lose weight.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about like how you feel. How do you feel? How does it feel? Does it feel different? Do you get a sense of accomplishment as well?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of benchmarks with that. And that's the one thing too, is I said this to my trainer, someone told it to me, and it was more about artistic, but it's the same in the gym or the arts or whatever. There is no there. So there's like benchmarks you have that you want to hit and stuff, but there's never like you hit one thing and that's it. Now you're done. You know, never that point in your career. Like, hey, I'm done forever. but you know, it's, you get a lot of pride in setting something for yourself and striving for it, whether that's, hey, I want to lift a 10-pound dumbbell. It's not about the weight, you know, it's about having an intention and setting it and being able to do it and be like, I did that. And when you set all of those little benchmarks, it builds your confidence because you're showing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if it's 180 pounds. You know, I didn't fucking start with that. You know, I couldn't even lift 15 pounds above my head without just being like, oh my God.
So, you know? I mean, a year isn't that long to make so much progress, really. When you look back on where you started, are you like, holy fucking shit? Is it like her eyes are lighting up? Yeah. I wish when I asked her that question, is it like you can't believe that?
I can believe it because I lived it, you know? Right. I mean, it's a lot of work, you know?
But you feel like you've really made like a huge... I mean, it sounds like a big fucking accomplishment to me.
It is. I'm proud of all the stuff I've done, you know, and it's just showing up, you know, the one thing I do like about this, I do like, I like sports metaphors. I like watching a lot of like documentaries about like sports and teams and dance and stuff like that. Cause I like the discipline. And I think that transfers over really well into a creative life.
Yes.
And so I get inspired by that. So even though these seem disparate, you know, they're so different, they really play in, you know. And, you know, there's tons of times where I try and lift shit at the gym, or I try and get a PR, and I try and get that next thing and I fail. You know, I don't post those videos. I know people have, it's very kind when people come up and they're saying, I'm really inspired by your videos. I really like them. There's a ton of videos I don't post. Where I can't lift that shit, And then I'm mad for a day and my trainer has to text me throughout the day because I'm like, oh, I fucking failed. You know, like there's all that too. I don't.
Wow.
You know, you don't show all that.
Because, no, I mean, but it's interesting to hear how emotionally invested you are. I mean, well, I'm insane. No, because to do anything, you have to really care to do anything well. To progress. I mean,
part of that is my personality, though, because there's a lot of people that go in there and they, you know, they start with a trainer and they drop out and they're like, I don't want to do this. And that's fine. But I always want to try and improve myself. Whatever I'm doing, you know.
Is Kyle impressed? Your husband? I can't imagine. Like, I'd love to hear what he has to say about this.
This is such a weird thing. I don't know why I thought about this, but he says, like, when he gives me a hug, he's always like, your back is so firm. That's what he always says. He's like, it's really, really
so
hard.
So he's like, who am I touching?
Yeah, that's just, no, but he's really supportive too. And God knows, I have complained about, like, yeah. Oh, I didn't get this thing, or I haven't lost enough weight, or I'm not doing well here. I mean, he's, God bless him. My friend always says the only thing more boring than working out is talking about working out. Now I'm that person.
No, but I find it really, so, but how about like just in a day-to-day level, like, do you feel like more confident in general? Like,
sure. You know, I mean, the physical part aside, you know, like you lose weight or you tone up or whatever, that's, of course, that's going to make you feel mm-hmm. good. But it really comes back to keeping promises yourself and challenging yourself. And also in the gym, you're not competing with other people unless mm-hmm. you're doing, even if you're doing a competitive sport with that, with weightlifting and stuff, you're still trying to beat your best.
Right.
So it's very, it's just you against yourself, which mm-hmm. I feel like it is in a creative field too. You can be like, oh, look at what this person has. Look at what this, you know, they're over here or this. At the end of the day, are you putting in the work to do your best stuff? Mm-hmm. And you can be like, hey, I wrote this song or mm-hmm. I did this sketch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if it's your best, then that's what builds the confidence. You're showing mm-hmm. up for yourself.
But I mean, even like I imagine like when you get out and sing like or playing, you know, playing at Sid's, yeah. like it feels like that kind of thing. Like just knowing that like you can do more.
I know I could. I could fuck up some drunk person if they came up to
no,
me.
No, but does it feel like that? Like more present in your body kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or am I being idealistic?
No, I think, I mean, and even just physically, like I play at Sid's. I play, the shift is 4 hours. I usually do 4.5 and I don't take a break. So wow. That is a physical effort.
Yeah.
You know, I'm stronger. So like even with that and how long I do that, I feel, you know, even stronger doing that than when I had first started, you know. But I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, but it helps with your confidence. It helps with just knowing you can do things, you can challenge yourself, and you can also still fail, but you can still show up the next time and go for it. You know, mm-hmm. Like I said, I feel like it translates to a lot of different areas in your life.
Yeah. Well, I can see how it would translate to playing music or practicing piano.
What
or
is this
something.
Practicing you speak of? I don't practice as much as I should. But
oh, well, do you need to? You're pretty good. You need to practice. Well, didn't you learn how to play? You know how to play the piano, right?
Yeah. What? I mean, I'm practicing every weekend for 4.5 hours.
Are you supposed to practice more? Like, do people
no,
that play?
I'm not a jazz. For a while, I started taking jazz lessons because mm-hmm. that's not my strongest suit. And then my piano teacher moved. I was so pissed. He was like this amazing guy. He was like 20 something. And he was like the chillest, coolest guy. I'm so upset he left.
You still taking lessons?
I hadn't taken lessons forever. And then I hired it like 2 years ago or a year ago. I was like, I'm going to take lessons. And that was the first time I had taken lessons since I was like in school.
You're a professional.
I wanted to get better. I could still get better.
Yeah. How can you, like, okay.
There's always, you can always have someone mentor you, but like that.
Teach you things that you don't already, yeah. or just maybe the objectivity, the subjectivity, like I'm trying to translate it into making the crap that I make and then thinking, well, if you had somebody around saying, have you tried this? Have you thought of this? It would help.
It's finding someone who can push you even more than you might know how to push yourself. I guess that's a good way to say it, as opposed to, Oh, I need help. Yeah. You know, this guy was better at jazz piano than me. So I was like, help me get better, you know, so that I can also be better at this gig or when I'm doing, you know, I get hired. I was getting hired. I got hired for this. It was like a 20s, 30s band. And that's how this whole thing started with the jazz teacher. I was in this 20s, 30 one off. And there's all these big solo breaks. Mm-hmm. And I was with this amazing clarinetist in there and he was just killing it. And then he's like, Leslie, take the next solo. And I was like, no. I was like, I don't need a solo. And I was like, wow, my solo skills ain't that great there. And I was like, I don't want that feeling. That feeling sucks. And then I hired. It's really just
kicking the ass
there. It's really anything I can do to avoid embarrassment or shame. It's when I get someone to help me.
Well, that's good. There's good coping skills. Folks, ask for help. Ask for help.
The older I get, I try. But.
Yeah. So, did you learn a lot that way?
I did. He was he was amazing.
But were you going to say that when you with jazz and stuff, do you have to practice a lot? Or
well, see, so after we stopped our lessons, I didn't practice as much because that's not a genre I play in a lot. I do a lot of pop rock, soul stuff because of karaoke.
Right.
So like that stuff, you know, I can pretty much do that pretty quick. But I like jazz is work for me. So like if I'm doing, and you can do those drills and exercises forever and you do it in every key and all of that. So I was trying to reinstitute that for myself. And that is a goal I have not met. because then I have to get up super early. I was going to do that before I went to the gym. I was like, fuck this. I'm not getting up and practicing jazz at like 5 in the morning.
I think we should let Leslie go on that. What do you think, guys? I think it's enough.
Don't ask me to play your jazz game.
I think you have
gig.
Enough going on. No, I think you have enough going on. I don't think you need to do that.
Okay, cool.
You know, check that one off. We forgive you.
Check that one off.
So, what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? I mean, like let's be real here. I mean, look how much you've accomplished in 3 years, right?
You're so sweet. Thank
no,
you.
No, I'm not. I'm telling the fucking truth. It's true, Leslie.
I love you.
No, we know this. We know this, though, right? She can't admit it. So. What's next? Like, what would your fantasy goal be next? Let's make it happen.
Oh, well, I love doing commercials and I got one earlier this year. That was a lot of fun. I'd love to do more commercials.
And what about commercials? Like,
I just, the money. No, the money.
I mean, you're really acting. We didn't put acting on the list of things that you're, but that's really more of an acting
job.
That's
what my degree is in.
In acting.
Yeah. My degree, I have a drama, television, film performance degree. That's my degree.
Oh, so you have all that training.
Yeah. I didn't graduate with a music degree.
It's just that you're really good at music and people pay, it's easier to make money at music than acting, I guess.
It's weird. I did not set out for that to happen.
You're really good at it.
But you know what? There's so many, it's weird too, because there's so many amazing musicians, especially in New York. I'm beyond, and I don't say blessed a lot without irony, but I'm very blessed and lucky to have as much work as I do, having not specifically set out for that.
Right, right. But also you're really trained and also you're probably, you know, I can see why.
So what's next? I don't know. I'd love to do more acting work and I'd love to do more on camera stuff. I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm searching for my next, I guess, thing I want to produce. Like I produce my show and for a while I was doing, you know, I do like a Staying Alive tribute party or I was doing this thing called The Real Housewives of Columbo where that, you know, the old 70s show Columbo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would do it as like an improv murder mystery with music and everything.
Oh, that sounds great.
We did like 3 of those and it was really, really fun. I'd be a different housewife that was like on the show.
Wow.
It was really fun. And then I did I did these old fashioned piano parties.
Yeah.
That was all at Cornelia Street Cafe
those
and then they closed.
So successful.
Oh, thanks. I really enjoyed them, but
and isn't that horrible?
Yeah. And that place was also like a home away from home. That was one of those places I could come to them and be like, listen, I have this insane idea. And they'd be like, sure, what night do you want? Yeah. And I'm like, give me a Saturday.
And John
Morrison
did great comedy show.
Yeah,
there
Morrison Motel and everything.
I love that show.
So it was really, I was really bummed when that place went out of business. And then
because of the fucking gentrification.
They had a fucking horrible landlord. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I want to do more like on camera stuff. I want to keep up with my music. And then I also want to, I'm looking for the next thing that I want to, the next creative content that I want to produce. And I haven't landed on an idea. I mean, there's, I have a lot of ideas. I could be like, I could do that, but I really want something that's going to be like, that's
that you
can my
really head. Like put. So you have, cause you have concepts for like an entire show.
Yeah. I always have a few things.
So that's what you would really like.
But now I have to find the right venue for it. I mean, I always had these little pockets where I'm like, I know I could do it here. I could do it here. And then they're all closing.
I know. It's horrible. It. You know what a great place is, by the way?
Radio Free Brooklyn studio. Radio,
yeah. Caveat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do psychotherapy live there. Did you know that, folks? I got a new tape. I'm going to put it online today. And that's where I want to do psychotherapy live. Okay?
That would be great. I've done a couple shows there.
You
and
have?
Yeah. It's a great space.
Yeah, that would be great for a solo show from you.
Invite me to your show. I'll be on it.
Okay. If we ever get it on there. If we ever get it on there. I did get rejected once, but I have a new tape, so we're gonna try.
I know some people.
You do you? Oh
yeah,
this
I know,
is great.
I know the guy, one of the owners of it.
You do?
I do. I'll hook you up, girl.
Oh, see?
I'll hook you up. I'm making promises that I might not be able to deliver on, but I'll hook you up.
Okay, so this show really, Leslie, we've got 1 minute left.
I know,
but,
it's went so fast.
But I got to say, you know what? This show is really, I feel like I've gotten, I feel like this show has been really for me. Usually I really focus on the other person, but I really feel like I feel so much better than I did yesterday.
Then that's all that matters to me.
You know, so
your well-being and Howard.
Yeah. And Howard.
Make it full circle.
Okay. So, I know if we live closer or if you didn't work at night, we would definitely be hanging out the time. Right.
But until then, I'll see you in another 3 years.
Yeah, I know. I know.
We all have these,
but you know, you can still make a difference. Here's the thing. You can still make a difference in somebody's life in so many different ways, even if you don't have time. Enough bandwidth, even if it's not possible. You know, we could do, you could, here's a great idea. So let's just, you give up the gym and then we'll just have coffee instead.
Yeah.
3 times a week.
Done. It would be a lot cheaper. Trust me.
All right, folks. So stick around because we've got great programming this afternoon. And don't forget to go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. I'm at Dr. Lisa Levy SP on Instagram. Get in touch and have a great.
Yeah.